This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast with me, Tom Ward. As usual, the podcast is sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern, which is the official CCFC sports bar. Pleased to be joined this evening by Dino. How are you doing, mate?
Hey, Tom. How's it going, mate? It's a long time for just us two, that's for sure.
Yeah, it has been. Not doing too badly, obviously. Plenty for us to talk about this evening. It's as we were just saying before we came on, there's never a dull moment, is there?
No, absolutely not. This is Coventry City. And to be honest, if we didn't have all this drama on and off the pitch, then what would we talk about, let's be honest? And we'd have no podcast, would we, let's be honest?
Yeah, we'd be out of a job, wouldn't we?
Are you getting paid?
No. A couple of beers at the tavern, you know.
Oh, okay, right.
Which I'll take, to be fair.
I was about to get on HMRC as well.
Yeah, well, I guess that's where we should probably start this evening. Not particularly the topic I like talking about on a Sunday night, but obviously, yeah, news today that HMRC are obviously on our backs and we've had a transfer embargo. Not 100% sure how long that's been in place, but yeah, I guess one way of looking at it is some strange news, Dean, but then the way things are at the moment, it's sort of, yeah, one thing after another, isn't it?
Just a cherry on top of the very big cake, isn't it, really? But we all owe money to the taxman, Tom. It's not just Coventry City, you know. Unless you earned the 12.5 grand, we all owe money to the taxman at some point. I mean, were they trying to keep it under the carpet? I don't know. I think the league would have announced it this week anyway on their website, because I think as part of the agreement with teams, that there has to be some kind of acknowledgement that teams are under an embargo. So we would have found out sooner or later. Obviously, it came out during the, I think it was a Times article this morning that we did owe some money, but I don't read too much into it, Tom, because you know we're under a payment scheme, and yeah, that scheme is there to help teams that have financial issues, and we all know the financial issues we have, and that's nothing to do with Sisu. It's to do with the fact we've had no stadium for four Saturdays at the beginning of the season, so there's going to be a cash flow issue. So I'm not too worried about the situation. Plenty of teams are in, and I've been under this scheme before, so it's absolutely fine. And obviously the embargo situation, I think, as the club said, I think they paid 3 out of the 6 instalments already. So as soon as the transfer window opens in January, yeah, we'll be out of the embargo anyway. So I think it's nothing to worry about in the situation, I think.
I'd agree with you there. I think we've had it ourselves. I think, was it last season or the season before? And like you said, plenty of other clubs. I think it's just probably one of those where the timing of it, it's just come at a time where things, you know, obviously we lost yesterday.
It's snowballing, isn't it?
Stadium news and then this. It's just, you know, it feels like one thing after another.
Yeah.
When the fans are probably looking for any piece of good news possible, I think it just mounts up, doesn't it? Probably just worries everyone a little bit.
Yeah, and everyone just goes off and one on Twitter like every single thing that happens with the club. But I think on this occasion, I don't think there's anything to worry about. I'd be worried if it was like we've missed paying the accounts for last year. Mm. Then that's a more serious situation. But because of the payment plan that's already in place and the payments restructure has already begun with 3 out of 6 payments, I'm not too fussed, to be honest.
Yeah, but one thing I suppose we can be worried about is the stadium situation.
Yeah.
Obviously, we found out on Friday that the club are looking at an alternative venue for Tuesday. So there is a bit of uncertainty around that currently, isn't there, Dean?
Yeah, and that I think that's the big one. That was the big talking point yesterday. I was sitting in the Prawn Sandwich Brigade yesterday, and a lot of people were talking about this situation with the stadium. You know, people with the rumours. Wolverhampton was muted at some point. Walsall, obviously. I think Walsall is the one that the club are looking at, which is going to mount its own issues with how many season tickets and how many Walsall actually holds, the best Scots. So that's an issue in itself. Never mind just actually playing away from home. And then it's long-term, Tom. We don't really know how long the situation of this ice group company going into administration, we don't know how long that's going to last. So it could be a long-term solution, but is it long-term pain? Short-term pain for long-term gain?
That's what I was going to ask you about, because, you know, we've obviously, you know, we know we've moved grounds a few times, and it just feels to me like we're getting somewhere with it. Like it feels like it could be the last one, which sounds mad to say. It's not good, but
I think that's all down on the owners, right? It's down to them now. I mean, the ball is in their court. And I was speaking to Ross before the game, and I said, look, this is what CISU have planned for.
Mm.
This whole time, for the past 7 years, this is the end game for them. Now, we just need to hope that they've had some kind of plan and they know what they're doing at this point. But, you know, this group live in the shadows, don't they? It's one of those. There's people on the dark web with more of a presence than CISU. So it's going to be interesting. It's intriguing. Like I said last week, I would rather them come out and put a bid in early, even to not, you know, take the ice group into administration, put a bid in that they can't reject. But obviously that hasn't happened, and we'll find out tomorrow.
Do you feel like they're just biding their time a little bit, though, and going to strike when the time's right? I mean, we know what Joyce Parler's like. She's obviously a shrewd businesswoman. I'm sure she's going to, you know, be thinking about this in the background and sort of getting her ducks in a row, so to speak, if she is obviously interested, which, like you say, you'd be very surprised if they weren't interested in this.
But there's going to be lots of people interested. We've heard the rumours of the NEC group, the Mike Ashley group. A lot of parties are going to be interested in me, because of obviously it's such a good arena, not just for sport, it's for everything else that comes with it. So it's going to turn into a bidding war. Now, I would rather them not be in the bidding war. I'd rather them say, okay, here's our offer, good offer. You might not get that when it goes into an administration. Take it.
Mm.
But obviously that hasn't come to fruition. So we just have to hope and pray that they have a plan in place. But, you know, we just don't know. They're so secretive about everything, aren't they? So
yeah,
it's a wait and see game now.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And the other thing I've thought about is, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because I guess if it was just a football stadium, you'd say, this is the football club, have to play there. Like, it has to be, you know, but it's more of an entertainment venue than it is a football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that there's stuff going on there every single day of the year, isn't there? The exhibition hall, the hotel.
But there was a Rubik's Cube championships yesterday exactly. I saw going on, which is mad.
Do you not fancy entering, Dino?
No, I haven't got very fast hands, Tom, if I'm honest. I've seen some of those YouTube videos. They're unbelievable. Blindfolded and everything. I couldn't pull that off.
Maybe next year.
I actually could. I don't think I've ever completed a Rubik's Cube in my life, so I'd be useless.
But, you know, there's, like you say, if there's all these different parties interested, you know, they are going to be looking at who can bring something to the table, who can run the arena well, because it hasn't been run well enough.
It needs a lick of paint.
Yeah,
you know, I've been heavily invested in the investors forum actually over the last few weeks, seeing what the bondholders are saying, and a lot of them are talking about, you know, it needs 4, 5, 6 million pounds worth of work done into it. So there's a lot to be done. Another situation that's coming to my mind is that we might have to be tenants again if someone else does bid, because I'm not, other than another rugby team, you're not going to get many people using that part of the stadium, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
And, you know, I don't fancy that pitch in the winter for a concert, if I'm perfectly honest. I'm not sure they're going to have much entertainment going on that side of the venue. So it might be the case that we might have to be tenants again. But it, you know, is it better being a tenant in a ground that's solely for the football side of things, is solely for the football? That would be a better situation to be in than to be homeless.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? It could be that, you know, it's either get the stadium as our own or be tenants in a much better situation where we're the primary sports team there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we call the shots on pitch and that's, like I say, that side of the arena. That could be a better situation for us. And you'd hope perhaps a good rent agreement, food and drinks, parking, the rest of it.
That's key, isn't it? That's absolutely, because with the situation we have with Wasp now or their ice group, we have a really good deal, a really, really good deal, which, you know, benefits us more than it actually benefits Wasps, as you've seen by their two companies going into default. So it's an intriguing situation. I think what I would say to the fans is it's not going to get sorted this week. I wouldn't have thought. It's going to be more of a sort of a long-term situation now. Maybe post-World Cup we'll know for definite the sort of the situation that we're in.
Do you think the World Cup comes at a good time? Do you think it's a case of get through these next three home games?
For the squad or for trying to get a home game?
I mean, we'll get on and talk about the football. It potentially could be for that as well. But I mean, in terms of the stadium situation, you know, is it three home games we've got, isn't it, before the break?
Yeah.
Is it a case of, you know, get through those games in whatever way we have to, whether it's playing away, behind closed doors, whatever. And then there's a bit of a, you know, there's 4 weeks to sort of get something sorted out properly.
Yeah.
And come back and, like you say, the squad are refreshed and everything like that. It could then be almost the start of the season again for us.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the start of the season for everybody again. It's going to be very weird. And teams at the top of the division now, are, you know, some of them are going to sort of slide away, you would imagine, because of the sort of runs they're on, the consistency and stuff. So it's going to be very strange second half of the season, shall we say. But for us, and like you just said with that point now, I think it does come at a good time. Got to take advantage of it though, Tom. I think we've been slow in regards to having another option. I didn't think, like, regards to the pitch, obviously we knew about the pitch in June and we were slow to sort that situation out. So you got to use the time wisely, but it might come at a good time. But like you say, if we can just deal with the situation now with these three games, the short-term pain for the long-term gain starts coming into mind again, and I've said that about six times so far. But I mean, that it's so true. It really is true. So it's intriguing. I'm just really intrigued about the whole situation, to be honest.
Yeah, everyone's got a slightly different view on it. What do you actually think will happen, Dean? What's your personal stance on this and how it'll pan out?
I've been wrong about three times already so far. I honestly thought they would come in this week with a bid. And secure it. Okay, it might depend on the administrator asking for way too much money at this stage.
Yeah.
And it might turn out to be a stroke of genius that we haven't put a bid in. But my gut feeling is that somebody else will buy it and we'll be tenants again, which I don't mind as long as the deal's good. But on the other hand, if Sisu bought it, they're buying everything there. And that just helps the club.
Yeah.
Because the revenue from everywhere else would go into obviously maintaining and running the stadium, but it would drip feed to the club as well. And then we also become a much more attractive asset for somebody who might be willing to purchase the team.
I think that's the big one, isn't it?
I don't think anyone's going to purchase us without the stadium.
Yeah.
So it's what Sisu's end game is. Is their end game to get out, of which they're going to have to speculate to accumulate there, because they're going to have to stump up the money to buy the stadium, because no one's going to buy the club without the stadium. You've heard that from Simon Jordan and a few others. So the ball is definitely in Sisu's court at this stage, and you just hope they come to the party, really, and stump up the cash.
Yeah, that's the worry, isn't it? If they don't go for it, then where does that sort of, you know, where does that leave their interest in the club?
And yeah,
you'd want answers of, you know, what is the end game then? I think they'd have to. I mean, if they bid and they're unsuccessful, then at least I suppose they've shown their intention and they've perhaps been shafted again, like they were, you know, originally when Wasp bought it.
But we come back to the council in that stage, don't we? Because the council are going to have a say in this, as they hold the freehold of it. So it's
they need to back the club. I mean, look at clubs like Brighton, who, you know, they got given the land to build a stadium. Yeah. They were in dire straits. The council helped them to get back on their feet, and they've obviously flown since then. You know, the council should be protecting the club. It's a community asset. It means a lot to the people who live in Coventry. You know, they should be doing all they can to help the club.
I don't play trust there them, Tom. And be the owner. I don't trust them because you look at the other week, they were trying to hold a secret meeting to try and bail out Wasps. Now, I mean, that is just dodgy, dodgy tactics. And that's covering their own arses because they know deep in their hearts they made an absolute massive mistake 6, 7, 8 years ago, whenever it was, when they sold the stadium to Wasps. But it also brings into my mind, you know, how far does the rabbit hole go with this whole situation in regards to the original sale of the stadium? Were Sisu right in regards to being, in regards to their bids on originally for the stadium? So, I mean, it's chaos, isn't it? And
it is.
I'd rather not deal with this situation. I'd rather just be a normal football club and own a stadium that we can pay and we don't have to put a statement out each night before the game starts. I mean, what other club puts out statements to say, we are actually going to play tomorrow. Don't
Breaking news, our fixture that's been scheduled since the start of the season, we'll be going ahead tomorrow. We will be playing.
It's chaos. But hopefully we'll start to see the wheels start turning tomorrow.
Fingers crossed.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now move on and talk about the football, Dino.
Yay! Although well, these two games.
I don't know if it is yay, to be honest. But it is football anyway. We'll look back at the Rotherham game in the week. Obviously, Sky Blues drew 2-2 at home to Rotherham. In terms of the team lineup, Dino, obviously a few sort of eyebrows raised before kickoff with Panzo being dropped. But did look like a strong bench for once, something we haven't seen this season. Obviously, O'Hare in there as well, which was great to see. An interesting lineup for Mark Robbins.
I don't get the Panzo dropping at all. We've just been on an incredible run and it's been down to the defence rather than the goalkeeper, I would say, in that run, if I'm honest. And Panzo was absolutely instrumental in that. And I just don't get it. I don't get that decision at all. Were Man City on the phone? I don't know.
It's possible, isn't it? It's possible.
Obviously, there is going to be a quota of games that he has, Callum Doyle is going to have to play this season. Maybe Mark was thinking, you know, it's against Rotherham. Attacking wise, they haven't really shot the lights out this season so far. So maybe we could sustain that sort of attacking threat with Callum Doyle there. But as it turned out, I think it was an absolute catastrophic error on Mark Robbins's part.
Yeah, I wonder if it was a little bit of both. I wonder if the Man City thing was partly in his mind and he thought, you know, a chance to rotate things and, you know, freshen things up a little bit as well. Because obviously, you know, no secret that we're going to be playing week in, week out until the break.
Yeah.
You know, was that in his mind as well to sort of keep Panzo fresh as well?
Yeah, I imagine so. And that sort of brings me on to that point again about the Blackpool game was going to be a harder game for the defence than the Rotherham game. On paper, at least, anyway. So maybe that was sort of in the thinking, but as we saw, Doyle played on Saturday as well. So, you can't second guess Mark Robbins, can you? It's just odd. Yesterday was bananas, and we'll talk about that. But I just didn't get this at all, to be honest.
Yeah, and the match stats on Tuesday, Dean, how did they look?
Okay, so we did have the first share of possession at 53.7%, 21 shots on goal with 7 on target against their 4. I can't remember us having 21 shots. It didn't feel like it anyway.
Didn't feel like it, no.
Maybe they were just like taking 10-yard passes towards the sort of box as shots as well. Our passing accuracy was pretty good at 75%, 6 corners to their 1. High percentage of tackles as well, made it 62.5. and 7 fouls compared to their 11.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Dean. Didn't really feel like that, did it? Didn't feel like we had most of the game.
No, it felt very dull, lethargic.
Yeah.
I said last week I thought Rotherham would be the easier of the two games, but they came to play, and you've got to give them kudos for that. They've came to play football. That first 20 minutes, I thought their attacking threats were instrumental, really, into how they were playing. It was they always had a spare man wherever they were. Their wing backs were playing as wingers effectively. Yeah. I mean, I put on Twitter and someone said, "Oh, they're not playing with wingers," but in possession, their wing backs were so far ahead of the play, they were playing as wingers, and we just couldn't deal with it because our wing backs weren't getting out enough. We had no out ball from that. So it was a very difficult 20 minutes, and yet again we didn't change anything to try and match that.
Mm. Yeah, I think they surprised everyone a little bit, didn't they? Including us as a team, how they came out and played their football. I think off the back of 3 wins, everyone expected us to sort of, you know, start the game really quickly, high intensity. But it was actually Rotherham that really played the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, and you can't fault them for their effort. I think their manager said at the end of the game they deserve more. I think they did. If I'm perfectly honest, I said last week if we could come away with 4 points this week, it'd be great. You know, the 3 wins in a row has probably allowed us to drop points at some point this week. I didn't think we were going to drop 5 of them, if I'm honest. Yeah. But we're looking to come away with 1. Mm. I thought both Rotherham and Blackpool were outstanding as away teams for sure. We did not turn up.
Yeah, and obviously Waghorn went off injured early on as well. Just as you thought he was, you know, getting back into the side, got a goal the week before, he went off, and you sort of feel bad for him. And obviously we're quite stretched in that part of the pitch now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. As you saw on the false 9, Robins Pep Guardiola style on Saturday, so we are definitely stretched. Casey Palmer came on. I thought Casey Palmer had another really really good game, and. You know, you had Tavares there, right? Everyone was saying, "Oh, this is the time for Tavares to come on," but I don't think it was probably the game that would have been suited to him, to be honest, because of how sort of mediocre we looked. Mm. Really, we just didn't look fluid. We just didn't look at our best. And to be honest, we needed to be at our best to beat Rotherham on the night, and I think we got away with one, really. But yeah, I hate talking about games where we could have been so much better.
Yeah,
it's just really frustrating at times watching Coventry City because you think, okay, we didn't set the world alight with those 3 wins in a row, but it's chalk and cheese. The performances.
Yeah,
from them 3 to this week, it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I saw your tweet at half time as well about how narrow we looked, and you know, not really sort of. And we don't have proper wing backs. I've been saying this all season that they're almost scared to put a cross in. Thought we looked a bit better on Saturday actually with Todd Kane on the wing. But yeah, you were right. It just did look quite narrow, didn't it? We didn't really use the space out on the wings.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the heat maps, Tom. It's ridiculous. Like their wingers are basically in our half, or their wing backs are in our half for the majority of the game. The most touches are in our half, whereas ours are 15, 20 yards in our own half. That tells you everything you need to know. Mm. So when we're playing the ball out to Vic, there's no one going up the pitch to help him. That's why I said we felt so narrow, because we just had no width.
Yeah.
We've spoke about the wing backs so much this season. They are so integral to how we play.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to move up the pitch, there's absolutely no point playing with wingbacks. I'd rather extra man in the midfield and try and play with an extra man there and play with 4 at the back.
And the times when we have switched it to that, we've actually looked a lot better, I thought, this season.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. And we have, like, when now Dabo's out, we have 2 wingbacks who are really right backs and left backs. They're not wingbacks.
No.
So why don't we just switch to a 4? Yeah. We seem scared to do that. I don't know why. It's yesterday against Rotherham would have been the perfect time to do that, because they had an extra man. Against Blackpool, they had an extra man in midfield for the majority of the game. They were playing rings, running rings around us in triangles.
Yeah.
It was pathetic. Now, if we can see that, why can't our coaching staff see that?
Mm.
We don't get paid a fortune to analyse games. We don't get paid a fortune to look at things that are happening on the pitch. And I mean, did they have anybody in the stand feeding the information down? I don't know. It's just very well. You'd like to think so, but we never seem to change. It's like we have plan A, and we might have a plan 8.5, but that we don't deviate away from that. That's it.
Mm. Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, like you say, do you just switch it and play four at the back? I think we've looked better when we have. Or in January, do you go out and actually get some proper wing backs in? Because we looked a lot better last season with Maxson, I thought, and better players at wing back, but we just haven't got the quality this year. You know, don't get me wrong, like Bidwell's done really well this year, but from purely an attacking sense, I just don't think he's been at it or given as much as we used to have.
No, you're never going to get that from both Bidwell. Well, Dabo is not himself. He hasn't been
and he's
for
out
about
now
18
for
months.
What? Weeks, yeah. Possibly months. Yeah.
And then Kane is just a natural right back. So it's definitely an area that needs to be addressed. And if you're going to insist on playing with wing backs, then you've got to go and find some wing backs, some proper wing backs.
Yeah.
There's no point fitting square pegs in round holes. Everyone just gets frustrated.
And talking of wing backs, we got completely caught out for Rotherham's goal. Just can't believe watching it back, really, how much of a head start Dabo gets here.
Yeah.
And he's just still miles off it. Obviously, he did his hamstring, which, you know, if you're going full tilt and you've done your hamstring, it's not ideal. But it just wasn't an ideal goal. I thought Wilson's positioning wasn't great again.
Didn't even dive for it, did he?
Yeah, just stood completely still at his near post. And just a really bad time to concede, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was Casey Palmer gave the ball away, and you can see how frustrated he was when the goal went in.
Yeah,
he was basically on his hunches, slamming the floor because he knew giving the ball away led to the goal. I also blame Michael Rose, Tom, because he has to see that danger earlier.
Yeah,
and then obviously Dabo is just in all sorts of bother when he tries to track back, but. Cohen Bramall, the guy who scored, he's a guy that I'd be looking at for that left wing back. He was absolutely outstanding the whole evening. And Barlasar, actually, their midfield player. Them two were outstanding on the night. Great finish. Nothing. I mean, he hit it well, but there was nothing Wilson could do, but you at least got to make an attempt for it, right?
Yeah.
Is he thinking it's going to go
on the near
across,
post?
Yeah. Is he thinking it's going to go across goal? But even so, you've got to be ready to anticipate.
I've always thought the same. I wouldn't really blame a keeper if it goes across the goal, they can be hard. But if it's on your near post, you've got to be in the right position at least and getting something on it or getting near it.
Well, he gave him the half the goal to aim at.
Yeah.
You got to narrow down the angles.
I do worry about Wilson's positioning. I really do.
Wow, you saw it yesterday.
We'll talk about yesterday, yeah.
But absolute concrete feet.
I was going mad. That second goal was just so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I threw my cup of tea down the floor. I went to the toilet. Yeah. I was
prawns everywhere, was it?
Prawns absolutely everywhere. One in my hair, a lot.
Yeah, not good. Not good. And back to Tuesday, obviously, another injury as well. Dabo doing his hamstring. We don't seem to have any luck with hamstring injuries. Very, very, very strange, but it's another injury that we could do without with the amount of games we've got coming up.
We're cursed as a football club, I think, for injuries. I would love to know the amount of man games we've lost across the last three seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the ACLs we've had over the years and
absolutely
hamstrings.
Cursed. I mean, someone's definitely got some kind of puppet and they're poking pins in it or something along those lines. Maybe it's Joy herself doing that.
But I think if we're being honest, it comes back to the finances, doesn't it? Because we're keeping hold of players that other clubs would probably move on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Players like Godden, players like Dabo, they've notoriously, you know, Kelly, have been on and off for the last few years. And you probably would have spotted that and said, by the summer coming up, we're going to make sure that we've got a squad work that will stay fit for the whole season, barring, you know, injuries you can't help. But we're keeping these players on, aren't we?
We're definitely stagnated in that regard.
Yeah.
100%. I think when we spoke at the tavern at the start of the season, we were all very, very confident we were going to add 2, 3, 4 bodies in at that point, because it was still 6 weeks to go until the transfer window closed and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then that's when the worry starts to go around your head, because you're thinking, well, the squad wasn't strong enough last year really to maintain the push. Is it going to be strong enough this year? And we've also lost, you know, a few players that have been around the club for a long time. So yeah, we have stagnated in that regard, and it's showing now. I mean, you look at the bench yesterday, Reed was on there, Burrows was on there. You said at the start of this review, the bench was looking strong. The bench on Saturday looked like one of the weakest we've had.
4 days later, it completely changes. Yeah,
absolute. It's madness. Absolute madness. But it all comes down to not having the finances for the squad available.
Mm.
It would be a really good season if we stayed up.
Yeah, I'll agree with you 100%.
I really had visions of us pushing on this year.
Mm.
But that was when I made a prediction of us ending up, I think I said 6th or 5th. That was on the basis we were still in the market.
Yeah, exactly.
There was 2 players lined up ready to come in, and then they just stopped. Them transfers stopped. And then you're thinking, oh, okay, we're not really adding to the squad here. So now, on a second glance, shall we say, I think staying up now would be a really, really good season.
But yeah, I'd completely agree with you. And actually could end up, psychologically could be great for the fans in a way, because I think last season we were always going to be disappointed in a way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we were set up for disappointment last season if we didn't make the playoffs. It was all or nothing, basically. Whereas this year, for all the adversity that we've had and all the issues we've had, if we did stay up, I think would probably feel like quite an achievement.
Especially with next year, with how many players out of contract, you've got the decision on, we've only got years left on O'Hare, Hamer, Gyökeres. Could be a huge rebuild, but it'd be better to rebuild in the Championship than better to rebuild in League One, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, following Dabo going off, Eccles came on at right wing back. Again, some of the fans questioning this decision, because we obviously had a right back on the bench in Kane, but he opted to play Eccles. I'm really not convinced of Eccles at all at right wing back.
Especially after he just played 3 games in central midfield and two of them was man of the match. Way to knock the kid's confidence, chuck him back at right back against one of the wing backs, one of the best left wing backs I've seen this season so far.
Yeah, it's tough on him. He must be coming on thinking, oh God, I've just played really well in my preferred position, and I'm just being, I'm just being chucked on because we've got no one else available. Well, we did a full game, but
that's what makes me question things, Tom. Like in regards to the management, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, it's just so frustrating that there's so many words I want to use, right? But I can't use them because I don't know if there's children listening. There definitely is children listening. David Moore's listening, isn't he? So I can't use them. So maybe we'll have to release an expletive version of the podcast at some point. Just let me go off on one.
Yeah, it was frustrating. But then, we came out second half. What did you make of our sort of reaction to going behind?
I think we looked better. That first 10 minutes, I think we got on the ball a little bit more, started to sort of create chances. But you say chances, they were, very, very half chances at that point. But you can see a little bit more confidence sort of breeding into the team at that point. And then we made an outrageous triple substitution, which is, again, it just
They did as well. They made one, so 6 new players in the pitch.
It was just...
You don't see that very often, do you?
Absolutely nuts. I don't care what Rotherham do, but what the hell are we doing? Like, we've just got sort of a foothold in the game. We've got a little bit of control. Okay, let's take off, two of the defence. Oh my God, it was just it was beggar's belief. Everyone was questioning it, like around me. Everyone's going, what's going on here? Like, why are we doing this?
Mm.
It made no sense. Okay, bring O'Hare on, bring Panzer on, but you don't need to sort of change pretty much the whole back line.
Yeah, it was almost that's how we should have started the game.
And why is Kane going left back? If he's taking Sheaf off, put Eccles in Sheaf's position. And play Kane at right back. You don't need to take Bidwell off. He was playing well.
Mm. Yeah. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
But seemed to do the trick because we scored a goal. lovely goal this was, wasn't it? And O'Hare involved, which was good to see.
Yeah, brilliant goal. It's just, we just need to see more of it. And you saw glimpses with those three, Palmer, O'Hare, Hamer, all linking up in this sort of, in this scenario. But the reverse pass from Palmer, I mean, that's Premiership standard.
Yeah.
There's been so much stuff he showed is that you're thinking, my God, he's so much better than us. You know, how have we got hold of him?
Great sign.
He's turning into an asset. You know, there was question marks about him early in the season, but slowly but surely he really has come into his own, and he's shown what a brilliant player he is.
Yeah, it looks like a really, really solid signing, and really excited to see more of him and O'Hare.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, even on Saturday, they were linking up. If Jokeres had been on the pitch to begin with on Saturday, it would have been a different game completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it pretty much straight from the kickoff, it felt like Rotherham go back in front and just a really, really poor goal.
He was offside though, Tom.
Was it? Yeah, was he?
Absolutely. About 3 yards. I was bang in line with him. He came round the back of Todd Kane and, you know, the camera was so slow, the whip pan across to, to where they were. And he was already 5 yards ahead, but he was offside. Absolutely nailed on offside. They've got away with one there. And then obviously Ben Wilson comes out, makes a decent effort of that first save, but it's just unlucky the way the ball bounces and, you know, Washington puts it away.
Yeah, poor goal to concede. And then we go and rescue a point right at the end. O'Hare doing what he does best and, you know, drawing the foul, winning the penalty. Vic down the middle wasn't the most confident of penalties, but did the job.
Just about, yeah. I mean, I was an absolute nervous wreck. Just, I was biting my nails. I think Ross took a picture of me. He could see me in the box and I was just like head in hands. Like, I just didn't want to look, but.
I wasn't as nervous as I was for the Waghorn one though, because I felt like, I don't know, I was already like, it sounds really stupid, but I was like buzzing to get the equaliser and then I was so annoyed that we conceded straight after that. I was just a bit fed up at that point. I was just like, if we get a point here, then kind of fed up in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Sheffield United one was a big, big goal.
That was a big moment, that one, for sure. Yeah. But I mean, this, we might look back and say this point was a big, big moment at some point during this season. It was a game where we deserve absolutely nothing, if I'm honest, and we come away with a point. So there'll be plenty more times this season where we deserve something and we get nothing. So we've got to take them when they come.
Yeah. And Gus in the last minute with his free kick wasn't too far off. And if that had gone in, that would have been...
That would have been scenes, yeah, scenes. But that would have been an absolute daylight robbery, though, if that had gone in. But yeah, a really good effort. And he's gone to the right side of the keeper for me. Like, the keeper's made the wall so big to the left-hand side, it was going to be difficult to get it up and over at that point. So he went to the right side and the keeper moved as well. So he was in no man's land. So it's so frustrating, but I'm sure he'll get one at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, or one of his corners will dip in at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But yeah. Who's your pick for man of the match, Dean?
Difficult one. I'm just trying to remember who they give it to in the prawn sandwich brigade. Probably Hamer, to be honest. But I think everything we did well came through Gus.
Yeah, I think he was brilliant, to be honest. Thought he did really well.
I think he just needed to take a little bit more of the game by the scruff of the neck. Mm. I think he sort of dipped in and out of the game a little bit, but everything he did do was done well.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now move on and look back at the Blackpool game from Saturday. Obviously, the Sky Blues slipped to a 2-1 defeat. Again, looking at the lineups, Dean, illness all over the squad, causing absolute mayhem. And no striker on the pitch, which threw Twitter into absolute pandemonium at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
I was excited, Tom. I was honestly, I was standing there going, my God, this is the first time I've been actually intrigued about how we're going to operate in a game of football.
Yeah, because I turned to the lads in the pub and said, well, it's a good midfield, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a very, very good midfield. Was it a 5-5, though, you know, rather than a 5-5, 5-3-1, whatever, you know, they did play in the end. But yeah, not having a striker isn't ideal, but obviously illness has absolutely ravaged its way through the side. I think 5 or 6 players who actually played were playing with illness as well. So hats off to them for actually pulling on a shirt. But, you know, it just it comes back to the squad situation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everything all boils down to having 17, 18 players that are championship standard, and we just don't have that.
Yeah. Good to see O'Hare get a start, though. Obviously, possibly would have been on the bench again, but I think just had to start. But hopefully that helps.
He's an able body. He's got to play.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully that helps him with the minutes he needs to get, and it might have just jolted him forward a couple of games, with that situation.
Yeah.
And I thought he had a good game and actually was quite effective for us.
Yeah, fairly decent game from him, I thought, considering it was his first start. You could see there's more to come.
Yeah.
And it's going to take
full tilt.
No, it's going to take. And for me, I think he'll come into his own after the World Cup. I think that will give him a nice sort of cushion to sort of hit the ground running when we come back with those remaining 21, 22 games that we're going to have. So they're all good minutes at the moment. And you've seen his quality with a goal. You don't have to say much more about that. I'd like to see him take on players a bit more, but that's going to come with confidence and time on the pitch. It's all part and parcel of that. So I thought it was a really good game, and for him to get a full 90 minutes under his belt at this stage was really good to see.
Yeah. And what were the match stats like for this one, Dean?
Well, surprisingly, we had the most possession, 55% of possession, 15 shots compared to their 17. Both teams with 4 shots on target. Passing accuracy, again, was really good at 76%, and 9 fouls compared to their 12.
Passing accuracy has improved a bit then over the last couple of games. Even if the results haven't come, it feels like that's going in the right direction.
I'll tell you whose passing accuracy hasn't improved, Ben Sheaf.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that man give the ball away as much as he did yesterday.
No,
that was his worst. That was his worst performance, I thought, in a Sky Blue shirt.
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard, he was one of the ones who was particularly ill, and probably shouldn't have been in the team, but we're just struggling for players. Yeah. So, but you could tell, couldn't you? Just wasn't at the races at all. Wasn't himself.
No, but that goes for the whole team. Tom lethargic. Yeah, I've got some words down here. Leggy, bit of a lack of imagination. We just didn't look like the home team.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought Blackpool really put us on the back foot really early. And when you play a false nine, you've got to play the ball out. And within the first 10 minutes, we played the ball long 4 times. I was like, well, there's absolutely no point doing that
there.
With a false nine. There's absolutely no point. And Palmer was doing his utmost to sort of draw a challenge. And he did it on 2 occasions really, really well. But we just constantly did the same thing over and over again. It was like they've been told, well, we're going to play the long ball, but Vic's not going to be there. So just deal with it.
Yeah. When you've got Jamie Allen leaping like a salmon for every ball.
Oh, God. And he got the director's box man of the match yesterday.
Oh, really?
Which I don't get that at all. I just didn't think, again, I didn't think he was at the races. And he's probably... The last couple of weeks, I think his lack of how can I be nice here? What's the word I'm going to use to describe?
You haven't written any words down for this one.
I haven't written any words to say. energy is brilliant, but a lot of marathon runners have energy, don't they? It's lack of quality. I'm just going to say it, lack of quality is shown from Jamie Allen the last couple of weeks. Beggars belief how he got man of the match yesterday from the director's box area. Everything goes back to squad, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And having the quality there. And you'd think if we were to... You look at the teams in this division, would a Swansea, Norwich, Sheffield United, would they have a Jamie Allen in their team starting week in, week out? I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
It's all good having energy. We need to show some quality as well. So, I felt at times that nobody sort of knew what was going on yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
They didn't have there was no game plan there. Or there was a game plan, but it was on the basis that Vic was playing.
Yeah.
And we just
Robin said in his interview, didn't he? He said they'd given them instructions, given them a game plan, but it was almost like physically we were okay, but it was almost like mentally they weren't at the races. They didn't really know what was happening.
You could see that.
They weren't making good decisions, and it did feel like that a lot of yesterday. I thought we were really, really lucky not to be behind early on as well.
Should have been 4-0 by about 20 minutes.
Yeah, they hit the post, a couple of saves. It was just, we were a bit all over the place early on.
Yeah, and it felt like, I was saying to Ross yesterday evening, it felt like one of those sort of COVID season performances where nothing was going right. Wherever we tried, nothing was going right. And we were so lucky not to be behind early in that game. Yeah. So lucky. Because if they go 1-0 up, they go 2-0 up, they go 3-0 up, and it comes into a horror show on Halloween, doesn't it? So, we were very lucky in that regard.
Yeah, lucky to stay in the game. But then, you know, we did manage to score a goal for ourselves. And this was a bit out of nowhere, but an absolutely brilliant move, wasn't it? And a really good finish by Palmer right into the corner.
Yeah, and he just blazed over the bar about 2 minutes before, which was probably an easier chance, really.
Yeah, oh, that was a brilliant chance, that one.
Yeah.
That's
the first time we sort of showed intent of taking the ball wide as well at that point. And that showed a way of getting through this Blackpool side. But the goal, just if Man City or Barcelona score that, it's replayed over and over and over again. The flick from O'Hare is a joke. And then Palmer does some unbelievable nutmeg. And he's so calm, he's so composed, shrugs off the defender. And it takes an eternity, doesn't it, for him to kick the ball in the back of the net.
It took ages.
I was looking at my
watch.
It's
horrible in real time.
What's going on? It's like, yeah. Do you remember a show called Bernard's Watch when you were young?
No, I don't remember that.
Maybe I'm a little bit too old. But yeah, basically he would stop time with his watch.
Oh, really?
And that's what
it felt
like.
No, I know what you mean now.
It really felt like the whole stadium just stopped in time. And it was brilliant when he actually put the ball in the net. And it was so well deserved, because he's been outstanding, Casey Palmer. For me, over the last 5-6 games, he's been our best performer. And, you know, it was a credit to him.
Yeah, it looked like he meant a lot to him, didn't it? He ran over to the corner and probably took some time over the celebration. Like, he felt like it was like, there you go.
I think he was just trying to eat some time, Tom, because of how bad we were.
True. Like, get to half time. Can I waste 10 minutes here?
Yeah. And he was actually really slow walking back because they were ready to go. But it was brilliant to see. And I think that'll be the first of many. I think him, once we start getting Hamer, O'Hare, Palmer, and Jokeres sort of on the same level, I don't think teams are going to be able to cope with the pace, trickery, and skill that those four are going to provide. But it's on the basis that everything else behind them works solidly as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think there's been times this season where Jokeres has done well, but he's been getting the ball so wide and he's had so much to do. And if someone else can be doing that and then he can be making the right runs, that's when we'll actually be effective, I think.
You'd think those three could probably rotate quite a lot. Palmer, O'Hare, you know, O'Hare does the chase, then Palmer comes in as the second ball. Jokeres does the chase, then O'Hare comes in the second ball, and you think they could intertwine. It is exciting, but, you know, touch wood, injury crisis doesn't sort of merge its way onto their bodies.
Yeah, fingers crossed on that one. Blackpool did have the ball in the net just before half time, but this one was ruled out for offside. Really weird one, because the ref didn't blow, the linesman didn't flag, the player looked like so guilty.
Yeah,
it was almost like, he looks like he knows he was offside. I'll stick my flag up now.
Yeah.
It was very weird. Very
mad.
Weird.
And like, I don't understand what the confusion is, because if he doesn't touch, he's interfering with play.
Yeah.
Because the ball brushes past his legs. So he puts Wilson off. Two, if he touches it, he's definitely offside. So I didn't get the confusion. It was just like, it shouldn't have to take 20 seconds or whatever it took to make that decision. It's just bonkers, and it just goes to show with the officiating, doesn't it? It's just absolute madness. Like, you can do everything you can as a team really well, but it always bows down to the officials, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to rely on them for so much.
Yeah, you have.
And you can do everything as well as a team as you can, but you've got to rely on them officials. And
It's poor. It's not even just us either. Like,
did you see that one at, was it Sheffield Wednesday yesterday? Or Bolton, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. I mean,
what is going on?
Yeah, I think even the team that got the free kick even looked confused.
Mm.
They were like, what's this for?
And it's not offside, because he's picked the ball off himself. Very hard.
Mate.
It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
But it was it Bond, wasn't it? Darren Bond.
Yeah.
I haven't done that as a joke, by the way.
I was going to say,
I just forgot his name.
Yeah, he was the same ref we had against Sunderland start of the season, wasn't he?
He's the guy with the, yeah, he had long slick back hair, yeah, he was the Alice band, but he's cut
changed
it off.
Changed it now.
Yeah, yeah.
He got so much stick on Twitter.
Got too much banter.
Yeah.
Couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, he thought he was the Jack, like the referee's Jack Ealish, didn't he?
Without the legs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, as you said, it was a poor half, really. And I think everyone felt pretty lucky to be going in ahead at half time. That wasn't expected at all.
No. I mean, everyone was saying, well, that's sort of daylight robbery, really.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. But how often does it happen to us?
Yeah.
We go in 1-0 down. And it happened so often last year.
Yeah.
We were behind at the break. I suppose you could start to see the players being a bit leggy at that point as well at half time, which goes to, you know, again, the squad. That's the buzzword of the night, doesn't it? It's the squad. If you had a better bench, you can, you know, maybe change things at half time. Although it is Mark Robbins we are talking about. He doesn't like to make a change at any exactly. point, never mind half time.
No. He did bring Jokeres on, obviously, to replace Casey Palmer. Again, Jokeres, you know, clearly wasn't up to his full self. That's why he didn't start. But I thought he looks all right, Dean. Looked lively. You know, he's relatively effective, even if he wasn't at his full tilt self.
Yeah, and I think removing Palmer was probably on the basis that he's going to need Casey Palmer on Tuesday night,
just in case
Jokeres isn't well enough to start the game again. So I understand that decision. Although at that point it was 1-1 at that point.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that could have been the key, Palmer linking off Jokeres to sort of get us back in front of the game. But again, Jokeres, he didn't look at his usual self. He did some good stuff, but you could see the illness has taken massive effect on him as well. So I can't remember, someone said that they saw him coming into the ground before the game. And he looked really down.
Yeah.
I think the majority of the team probably looked a little bit down, to be honest. But you can see it's had a major effect. It's just one of those games, isn't it, Tom? When there are circumstances you can't control.
Yeah.
And the bigger picture is, can the lads be fit now for a run of games, the next 3 or 4 games, which might, you know, define the season somewhat going into the World Cup break.
Yeah, for sure. And their goals were just so poor. If you thought the first one was bad, then the second one was even worse. As we said, really, really annoyed on the day. Wilson for both, I thought really, really poor positioning. Just terrible goals to concede.
Where do you want to start with Ben Wilson, to be honest?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about just the goalkeeping situation in general now, because obviously question marks over Wilson. Moore's been waiting patiently, and you know, I feel like it's time to bring Moore back in. Is my view.
Absolutely, 100% agree with you, Tom. If Moore was dropped for making mistakes, Ben Wilson has to be dropped for making mistakes.
Yeah,
you can't set a precedent and then not continue on that line.
I agree.
And Ben Wilson has now made mistakes in 2 games, back to back, potentially 3 games as well. I think you know, he got away with some dodgy stuff last Saturday. So Moore now has to come back in.
Yeah. And I don't want to be too harsh on Wilson, but I think even the run of clean sheets, as great as it was, I don't think it was down to him.
No.
I don't 100%. Remember like a really, like, you know, amazing save in that run. I just think the defence was so tight.
Yeah.
And we kept teams out. I mean, Stoke, the first half, I don't think they had a shot in our box the whole half, or on target for that matter.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree with you there. I don't think those clean sheets are, you know, okay, of course they had some input in them, but I would say a sort of a 60-40% on the defence, really, maybe 70-30 in that regard, actually, the defence making those clean sheets. So, yeah, for me, Moore comes back in. Simon Moore is my number one goalkeeper, regardless of how Ben Wilson has played. Maybe the him being dropped might pay dividends now with Simon Moore, as it paid dividends for Ben Wilson early doors when he come in. He made some really good saves, some good decisions, and now the sloppiness has started to creep in, so you change it again.
Yeah.
That's
why you have 2 goalkeepers, right?
Exactly. You have, I think, 2 decent enough goalkeepers as well at this level.
Yeah. I think it could be the right time for Moore to come back in. I think he's going to be so laser focused on not making any mistakes. I think his distribution's better, which I think we just talked about, you know, the options we've got, you know, at the top end of the pitch now, how exciting that is. Our distribution is going to become more important now, and you know, we can play better football perhaps.
And it also helps having a sort of a solid defensive line as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be much change in that back line, you would have thought, over the next few weeks. You know, it's going to be Kane, it's going to be Bidwell, it's going to be Fads, it's going to either be Rose, Fads, and then either or between Panzer and Doyle. So it's not swapping and changing, and those guys would have got used to each other over the last few weeks. So I think it is time for Moore to come back in. Yep.
Yeah. And with this game in particular, there wasn't much we could do, I feel, to change it. I feel like it kind of killed us, that winner from Blackpool. There was just nothing on the bench. Obviously, Walker and Burrows came on, but it just fizzled out so much, the game, didn't it? It was very, very frustrating, sort of last 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, nothing really got going for us, as it did the most of the game, to be honest. I mean, everyone's boo boy, isn't he, Walker? I mean, being thrown back into sort of the Lions' den, really, at that
point. The graveyard shift, as Ross called it.
Yeah, it is the graveyard shift. You know, like, he's just come back from, all intents and purposes, a pretty nasty injury with a tear, and he's thrown back in to try and salvage something in a game where we've got absolutely zero foothold. It's just madness. I don't have any qualms with Walker. Not doing much yesterday, if I'm honest. And the Burrow situation, he should be nowhere near the first team. So that shows you the situation we're in.
Yeah, it was just baking up the numbers, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, plain exactly. Simple. Yeah. And also, it says a lot about sort of Josh Reid as well. Burrows comes on in left back ahead of an actual left wing back. So I think his days are numbered at this club as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there for sure. Full time whistle went. Disappointing result, especially after, you know, the run we've had. I think this was a game that everyone wanted to get 3 points in, or at the very worst, a point. And it's disappointing to have lost it.
Absolutely. But full credit to Blackpool. I thought they were outstanding on the day. Their link-up play was superb. They out-battled us, as Big Sam would say. They out-tacticked us as well in the middle of the park. Having that extra man was absolutely key. Michael Appleton's done a really, really good job sort of marshalling that team and getting them to all work really, really well. I don't think I've ever seen Gary Medine run as much as he did yesterday on a football pitch. And Jerry Yates is an absolute sensation at the moment. I think he's top scorer in the division too. So
good player.
Fair play to Blackpool. I think they were fully deserved of the 3 points.
Yeah. Interesting stat from yesterday. That was our first stat.
Come on.
Yeah. Our first loss from going ahead at home since Borough in March 21.
Nuneaton Borough in the friendly. Really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm the last one at the CBS was in August 2018 against Scunthorpe. So
wow.
We don't often go lose from the winning position at home.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really winning that much, never mind.
that could be the more of the case, yeah.
Yeah, that might be the issue. That's what's that now at home? That's three losses at home.
Two wins and a draw.
Yeah, we lost Preston, Burnley, Blackpool, draws against Rotherham. Who else did we draw against?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's poor. I mean, you look at those three teams there, in Preston, Rotherham and Blackpool, you would be looking on paper, we should be getting 9 points if we want to, you know, do anything well in this division, and we've come out with one in those games. So that's poor. And that means now we're going to have to make it up and beat, you know, some of the bigger sides at home.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, going into the Cardiff, Sheffield United and Stoke games, you know, did anyone expect us to get nine points out of those?
No, absolutely. And did anyone expect Blackpool to win yesterday? They were
it's pretty a decent division, odds. Isn't it?
It is. I mean, we win our two games in hand, Tom. We're in the top half, and we're sitting here talking as if it's all doom and gloom, and we're definitely going down. It's just one of those things. It's an absolute bonkers division, and there's so much to play for, and there's so many games still to play. It's absolutely madness.
Yeah. Who's your man of the match if you have to pick one? Yesterday.
I want to shout out, other than that mistake, I thought Callum Doyle was quite confident on the ball yesterday, coming out with the ball. Some of his passing was really good. But I'd have to give the actual man of the match to Casey Palmer. I thought the goal was terrific. I think he held the ball up really well for a position that I don't think he's ever played in his career. And some of the touches and link-up play with Hamer and O'Hare was a delight to see. That was the only time I really had a smile on my face yesterday.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now move on and discuss Tuesday night's game at home to Blackburn. I say at home. We're not 100% sure where it'll be played yet, Dean.
But, Let's not
get back into that just now. Yeah, who knows where it'll be. But, you know, as far as we know, it's definitely going ahead. So we can preview it. I think it's fair to say this is going to be a really tough game, Dean. Blackburn are doing really well. I know they had some quite strange form at the start of the season. They seem to be winning a bit more consistently now. So, yeah. I think, yeah, this will be a tough one, won't it?
Yeah, and they're playing really well. And they're just set up really well as well. They're very, very rugged. They don't give the ball away too often as well. So it's going to be really tough. And you talk about the division being mad. Look at their 18 games. Won 11, lost 7, drew 0.
0-0 on Tuesday then.
Yeah, it definitely has that written all over it for us to be the first draw.
Yeah.
But they're kind of one of these teams that sort of go in sequence as well. So after 4 wins on the spin, they're due a loss. So why can't it be us?
You'd hope so. And in terms of their team, obviously we know one of their players particularly well in Dom Higham.
Who's that?
But yeah, who? But yeah, he's gone out of my memory. But no, obviously we know him well. Obviously he's a really good player, and by all accounts he's been excellent for them this season. But apart from Higham, who else should we be keeping our eye out for on Tuesday?
Well, they play a very sort of traditional way, but without sort of wingers. So it's sort of a 4-2-3-1 system they play. Brereton Diaz obviously is one to look out for on the left-hand side. And one player who I've been very, very surprised at this season is Sammy Smodix. Playing just behind the striker. I think he's had an absolutely terrific season so far. So I would be inclined to have my eyes on both him and Ben Brereton Diaz. We know what Diaz can do. Very surprised he's still there, if I'm honest. I thought he would have gone in the summer. I thought there would have been some takers. 8 goals to his name so far this season as well. One of the highest performers in this team. So yeah, definitely them two to sort of look out from an attacking point of view.
In terms of us and how we'll set up, obviously there's a few question marks on various players. We've obviously talked about goalkeeping situation. There's whether O'Hare will start. Is Vic even fit? There's obviously so many ways it can go. It's very, very hard to predict, isn't it?
What might I wouldn't even like to put a prediction on it, Tom, if I'm honest.
Does anyone ever get it right?
No, no, nobody ever does. But it's just like, it's going to be what bodies are available.
Yeah,
it's going to be that, and
might,
you know,
pick itself. Really.
It will probably pick itself of who's fit, who's not, you know, flued up, and you know, if you can put your boots on, you can play. It's one of those kind of.
You might get called in.
Might get the call. Be a fake name. Your classic Sunday League fake name, but I might get the call up. But I'm really intrigued by the Vic versus Higham matchup. Because they'll play 4 at the back. So Vic will have, you know, one less centre-half to deal with as he normally does. So I would just love Vic to absolutely rip the proverbials out of Dom on this game. I mean, it's sad to see, obviously, Dom go. And he's performed ever so well. I think he's even captained there, isn't he now?
Yeah, I think he has captained certain games, yeah.
So, that's an intriguing matchup I'm looking forward to. You know, for me, when Dom was here in the air, I thought it was pretty good. But when players ran at him, I didn't think he was all that. And that's Vic's strength, isn't it?
Mm.
So can he get one up on his old teammate? I would love to say yes. And
I mean, that's got to be a slight advantage that if we know Dom Higham's weaknesses and he's one of two centre-halves, you know, we've got to exploit that, haven't we?
Yeah, but you also, Dom sort of knows what Vic's weaknesses are as well,
fair,
I suppose.
It works in
both ways.
Yeah.
But we just have to hope that his weaknesses are stronger than our weaknesses. Yeah. At the moment, our weaknesses are our team and who's available. So, it's going to be an intriguing one. And, you know, it's the element of the unknown with this game, isn't it? Because if we do play away from home, you know, both teams are not going to be settled in a stadium that they probably don't know. It is Warsaw. So, you know, can we take advantage of that?
Yeah. Who knows? And who knows how they're going to even fit fans in, etc.
Well, I don't, so if it is the best card, we have 13,000.
I don't get how it can be, Dean. I just don't get how you can even explore a stadium that doesn't fit your number of season tickets in.
Yeah, it's
like, what do they do? Just say, can you fill out this poll of whether you're going to come or not?
First come, first serve.
You know what I mean? Like, what on earth do you do?
It's absolutely mad. They won't be able to sell tickets because they'll have to make the decision on Monday.
Yeah,
imagine.
And they're going to have time. To, yeah. And Blackburn are going to have to travel, etc. Yeah.
I mean, are they just banking on not many people will make that journey?
What, and just... But
you can't bank on that, though, can
something
you?
Has to be sorted, though. They can't just... What, is it just turn up and show your season ticket and they hope that not everyone turns up? That can't be can't be the way they'd...
And they won't be
asked, wouldn't allow that, I don't think.
They won't know what our season tickets look like. So are people just going to be going, yeah, throwing up their, you know, their Nando's card, trying to get in?
it honestly just sounds like an absolute logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, when we have issues getting our season tickets out at the best of times for our own stadium in the summer, let alone for a different stadium with one day's notice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And it all comes, but if people don't realise what the situation is with the CBS, is that people are going to be made redundant tomorrow, and therefore with people not having jobs and not having enough staff there, they're going to lose a safety certificate.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, what's the potential of playing behind closed doors at the CBS? Because if there's no public there, then you would imagine that they'd have to have a certain amount of staff, X amount of staff for X amount of people that are going to be there.
Yeah.
And if they can keep it to an absolute minimum, just to play behind closed doors, that could be an option.
And to be honest, when from the club's perspective, weighing up the finances,
yeah,
I mean, they're not going to make any money by playing at Warsaw.
No,
they're going to, because it's all going to be season ticket holders.
You're going to lose money regardless of where we play.
Yeah,
it's a loss at this point.
But if you were to play it behind closed doors and offer the fans a really good, some sort of, you know, compensation, whether that's a free cup game or whatever, I mean, whatever happens, people are going to kick off, which is, you know, they're well within their rights to. It's an awful situation, but that might be the club's preferred route to avoid the disruption that it will cause.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
give everyone a free iPhone pass.
I thought you were going to say free iPhone then. I was going to say.
Maybe not a free iPhone, mate.
Oh, damn. Play behind closed doors. Behind.
Yeah. Free iPhone pass.
Yeah.
I mean, it would save me a trip from London, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is true. So, yeah, I mean, that's a possibility that, you know, the free cup game. Free FA Cup game. I know we'd have to give money to whoever we play as compensation, but you know, that's the be all. You know, it is what it is, right?
It's the
situation we're in. We're going to lose money regardless. We go and play somewhere else. You're not going to make any money from the game. We play behind closed doors at home. You have to refund the season ticket holders in some way or another. So it's, we're hemorrhaging money regardless of what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What's your prediction, Dean, for Tuesday?
I honestly don't know, Tom. At this stage, you know, we've just won three games in the spin that I would have probably said we might get a point from. And then we've just lost one and drew one at home where, you know, I thought we would have at least picked up four. So I'm going to go for a draw. I think it will be Blackburn's first draw of the season. But I think it'll be a really, really sort of hard-fought draw. Maybe again, sort of go behind and come back and get that equaliser.
Now, the Watford game on Saturday does feel like quite a way away, with, you know, expected to be quite a lot of twists and turns this week. But, and you know, again, it's hard enough to preview a game on Tuesday at the moment, let alone next Saturday. But
yeah.
I guess a quick word on Watford, Dean. Again, going to be a really tough game, isn't it, away at Watford?
They'll probably have a new manager by Saturday, just to add to add to the confusion some more.
Yeah, we won't have a stadium, they won't have a manager. And it's just two jokes of a club, but
yeah. In different circumstances.
Very different ways.
Yeah. Watford, I mean, I really thought they would set this league alight by keeping some of their bigger players this season. I thought, you know, the likes of Sarr, Pedro, I thought they would go. You know, they're Premier League players, effectively. And I thought if they went, then Watford might struggle to sort of hit the playoffs. But now with having those effectively for the whole season, it looks like, because of long-term contract extensions, I thought they would have been a lot higher than they are. But, you know, they are just sitting outside the playoffs, and we know two wins can sort of bump you back up. So they're an attacking side. Lots of threats. I've obviously mentioned those two already, but, you know, threats all over the pitch. Choudhury, again, Premier League player, yeah, sitting in midfield. It just goes to show, doesn't it, the difference in quality available, yeah, to these teams. And again, this will be a tough game. And notoriously, Watford's always been a tough place to go for us, isn't it? You know, I can't remember the last time we did really well. I know we had that three-three in the COVID year, or did we lose?
I think it might have been 3-2. I think we lost 3-2. That was the Hamer header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think we played really well that
day.
We played well against them, but
we haven't picked up the results that we probably deserved at Watford at Vicarage Road. We're going to be backed by a sellout crowd, and we know what we're like on the road with a good travelling support. So hopefully we can turn the tables a little bit here and perform on the day, because, you know, it is Watford. It's, you know, they blow so hot and cold, and you never know what you're going to get with them. So we've got to try and sort of take advantage of that if we can.
Yeah, we might as well go for it, really. I haven't got too much to lose, right? A little bit of a free hit. You know, when you look across, you know, games across the whole season, it's a little bit of a free hit. It's obviously the home games the following week, the way you've got to be picking up the points.
Home games, not at home.
wherever they will be played. But yeah, that's all we've got time for this evening, Dean. Thanks a lot for joining me as usual. And listeners, do make sure you're following the Sky Blue Tavern across their social channels. And as always, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation on anything we've talked about this evening, then all you need to do is use the hashtag SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.